Well, I didn't get an email out. But it's not like my email would have revealed all these new things we're going to be covering. Because we're still trying to cover the verses that I sent out, I don't know, 3 weeks ago. That is okay. As a brief review of last time, we discussed how Jesus was inaugurating something new. But what I found kind of interesting, he's inaugurating something new, yet old, to the people of God called the nation of Israel. Because we were looking at John 6, and Jesus expounded what was written and taught in the prophets. All this old information. I mean, on the right here, Jesus was expounding everything that was written back here and saying that for those who hear and have been taught that they should come to him. I mean, he was in this group of people in John 6. And part of our study here, I'm not getting into trouble here. Thing keeps wanting to speak, like my eyes are going to talk or something. Okay. Our whole study, as we've been looking at dispensational theology. Dispensational theology is saying that Jesus came. He told the people of Israel that everything that was ever written about me was written out here, and it all is pointing to me, and the purpose is that you are to come to me. Dispensational theology is saying, well, the people of Israel didn't really come to their Messiah, King, the branch of David here, that since it didn't happen here, that this group of people that Jesus came to, Jesus is going to have to come to again, and quite frankly, repeat the whole process, so that they will come to him. So that's what we've been looking at. We've been looking at the claim that that's going to happen, and we've been looking at, well, what does the scripture say? And again, each one of us are going to have to come to our own conclusion here, because you're going to walk out of here and say, I believe what Greg Kimmel believes. And I'm going to say, danger, Will Robbins, danger. In fact, I'm going to start waving my arms. Our whole goal here in Sunday school and with the sermons and with our private devotional time is that when somebody comes to us and asks, what is the hope that is in you, that you're not going to tell them, well, come to church with me, which would be nice to do that. But we're hoping that all of us can then discuss Christ and discuss what the scriptures say about him. Because you don't want to be in a conversation where you become the authority. Because that happens with all of us. Because now it looks like this is my opinion. This is my interpretation. But if you can take somebody to like John chapter 6 and say, let's see this interaction that Jesus had with this group of Jews and how the conclusion was is that they were to come to him. And the whole question is then that would be the question to the person you're talking to. Jesus just presented himself. I mean, think about this. If you're actually evangelizing somebody and you were to take them to John chapter 6 and read it with them, you are absolutely doing nothing any different than what Jesus just did with those Jews. Because Jesus is proclaiming himself to them and he's saying, because of what you've seen and heard, you should come to me. And that would be the exact question you would propose to somebody after you've went through John 6 with them. And do you see how now that is not my opinion? That is not my interpretation. It's like Jesus wasn't mysterious or cryptic in John chapter 6 as we look through it. In fact, he was hard-hitting, pretty. It's like, I mean, he was using the 2x4 side the head. So that's what we're trying to accomplish here. We're not trying to pick on our brothers and sisters who hold to this position. We're not picking on other denominations. We're just trying to establish ourselves that when we're going to dialogue and interact with people, can we do it through the scriptures? And that's what we're trying to do here. Because then the next question that we left off last time, when Jesus left, you know, died, rose again, ascended, is there any corroboration that the redemption of Israel was now to be postponed to a future day? In other words, it didn't happen here. Now it's supposed to happen way out here. And then that's when we looked at John 16, 25 through 26, that expounded that the scriptures of the prophets, so here we are in the timeline, you know, Jesus is gone, and now here's Paul teaching and preaching. Paul is saying that the scriptures of the prophets, are now disclosed, opened, rendered apparent from its previous state of being, I'm going to paraphrase here, mouth shut secret. Because remember when we looked up the word secret, it meant to have your mouth shut. I mean, it's the picture of Sergeant Schultz there. I see something, see nothing, I say nothing. And it says, from since the world began, which means there was something hidden about what the prophets were saying, what Moses was saying, and what the Psalms were saying. Because if we were to go back and read the Emmaus Road accounts where they were walking with Jesus and they didn't know who he was, Jesus said, kind of questioned them, wasn't it the purpose that this man was to come suffer and then go to his glory? And they continued down the road where he went in to eat with them. Then he revealed himself to them, and that's when he told them that everything that I was telling you on the road from Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms point to me. And that's when he disappeared. And that's when the group said, oh, didn't our spirits or our souls, didn't it burn within us while he was speaking to us? And now Paul is just kind of restating, re-expounding the information that all that information is now rendered apparent. And then he said, for what purpose? That it is being made known to all nations right now, starting with and including Israel. For what purpose? It said the obedience of faith. The scriptural evidence of Israel's prophets is for the obedience of faith. So coming to Christ is not a future ethnic bloodline event. Coming to Christ is a now event that started with the people. Because, you know, as Guy brought up, he goes, because when we were talking about Psalm or John chapter 6, he says, well, it's just talking about individuals. Yes, and quite frankly, if we were to go back to Jeremiah, if we were to go back to Ezekiel, go back to Isaiah, it's quite obvious those prophets talked to individuals. They went out and talked to the people. I mean, right now, I'm talking to you people. But it's quite obvious you people are individuals in the audience. And the context is when the prophets talk to the people, those individuals collectively all were called Israel, the nation of Israel, Judah, Jerusalem, all the little Jewish type words that described the people. So Jesus, when he came, is saying all the things that were written point to me. And he goes, this new thing that's going on started and continues with the people of Israel. It hasn't stopped. It started there. And it's quite obvious. You can go out on the internet and see where the gospel is alive and converting people in Israel. It was the starting place. But then I would just listen on the radio the other day that talked about how, I don't know if it was Iran or Iraq, they were just talking about, you know, kind of the underground churches and the gospel being alive there. So it's the picture of the gospel going out to this very day to every nation, every tribe, and every tongue. Now, let's go to John chapter 8, 56. This is, I found this really interesting. Let's just read John 8, verse 56 for us. Okay, the context of John chapter 8, this is another 2x4 to the head section, if you read all of John chapter 8. He was in the temple, and he was preaching to these people, the Jews, the people of Israel. And then, I'm going to paraphrase it, that they started playing the Abraham card on Jesus. And then in this section of Scripture, Jesus goes, like, hello, I know you're the descendants of Abraham. And then, after that, they say, well, not only are we the descendants of Abraham, Abraham's our father, and so is God. So they're telling Jesus, like, you don't know who you're talking to here. You know, we're the Jews. We're the people of God. And then that's when Jesus says, if you would do the deeds of Abraham, you would love me. But instead, you're here to kill me. And that's when we get to this point. 56, it says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it. And then they go, oh, hello, you're not even 50 years old. How have you seen Abraham? And that's when Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. And that goes right back to Exodus 3:16, where Moses asked God what his name was. You're saying you're sending me on this impossible mission to go talk to the people, you know. And Moses is basically saying, I don't want to go there on my own opinion. So he says, tell me who, what your name is so that I can tell them that somebody sent me. This isn't me, you know, like don't kill the messenger. And God says, I am. And that's why in verse 59, they wanted to kill him. So I'll call on you, Ben, but as I call on you, I'm going to ask you, why is verse 56 potentially profound here? Go ahead, Ben. Oh, yeah. That's why they wanted to kill him. I mean, this is such a clear section. And let me ask you, when Jesus told them, if you were of your father Abraham, you would do the deeds of your father Abraham. Let me just ask you the question. What was the deed Father Abraham did? That's right. That's right. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. That's exactly what Jesus was telling all these Jews. He was telling them, if you were like your father Abraham, you would believe me, and I'm proclaiming to be God, you would believe me, and it would be counted unto you as righteousness. I mean, as I'm reading and studying this, I'm thinking, you know, how harder can he hit him in the head with a 2x4 to make this clear? And then that brings in our whole conversation about election, about being chosen. But even in this situation, Jesus still offers the invitation. Because it's just like with us, we're not going around with looking for ease on people's forehead. That's God's business. Our business is to proclaim Christ clearly, so that we can then ask the question, why don't you come to him? I've just presented Christ to you. I see, in my mind, evangelism, it's not are you ready to pray? I think the question that Jesus presented them should be the question we should present anybody who we're evangelizing to. Won't you come to Christ right now? Come to Christ. Did you have something, Earl? Yeah. Okay. My day, and I did pull up the Blue Letter Bible to look at the parses on that and the reverse interlinear, and my day is singular. So, okay. But think about what that is actually saying for everybody who believed in faith under the old covenant. What were they believing in faith for? They were waiting for the Messiah, the King, the Redeemer. They were waiting for all those scripture verses that we've already been looking at. We've been looking at Isaiah, and we've been looking at Jeremiah, and there's just bunches and bunches and more. And Jesus is saying that Abraham looked forward to my day. So here's my $64 question. Is my day that Jesus is referencing here or here? You can come to your own conclusion, but my conclusion is Jesus is referring to right here. Yeah. Because Abraham, I mean, that isn't that the hope of the faith of chapter 11, where you have faith and belief in something you haven't seen? But there is evidence to say that it is true and real. And I'm just suggesting that everybody who died in faith because they believed God, and the reason why they believed God because they knew a Redeemer was coming, a King was coming, a Messiah was coming, a branch of David was coming. And here he is in John chapter 8, standing in front of this audience who he previously had told, "You've been taught and read these things." He goes, "Abraham, look forward to my day." And he's basically telling these other people, here I am. Here I am. The day's here. And what was the response? Let's kill him. Let's kill him. Yes. Why wouldn't Jesus then reference, I'm here before you right now. Today's the day of salvation. Come to me. And so now they rejected him, and now they get another chance, 1,600 years, 2,000 years later? I'm just telling you, Pam, that I have a little hard time reconciling it. When Jesus said, I'm here now, this is my day, and if you read Romans 16, verse 25 and 26, Paul says, but now what was revealed about Jesus is now made manifest. It's like now is the time that you see who the Messiah is, the King is, the Redeemer is now. But I'm just saying the dispensational group said, because this group of people did not see any of that, didn't believe any of that, rejected all of that, that what was new and revealed here technically is going to have to be new and revealed way out here again. But 2 days is actually plural. That's why we discussed in one of our classes, that's why I looked up the tense of my day, it's singular. And then when we were in John chapter 6, when Jesus said, all that come to me, I will give eternal life, and I will raise them up the last day, both the word last and the word day are singular. So back in John chapter 6, that sure looks like Jesus is saying that of all who come to me, that the Father gave me, that I will lose none. Here, we got this pie, think of the pie, all, I got this, all this group that the Father gave to me. And I'm proposing that the all is not a the all isn't a split group here. Dispensational theology is saying it's a split group. There's the all of the church getting redeemed, and then later, way out here, then there's the all of the nation bloodline of Israel getting redeemed. That's what dispensational theology is teaching. And I'm just saying in John chapter 6, or I shouldn't say I'm saying, I'm proposing based on what the scriptures say, that when Jesus is telling these Jews, that's who he came to, he's telling the Jews, he goes, all that the Father gave me. Either Jesus is referencing Ephesians 1, where Paul then expounds what I'm saying, what Jesus said in John 6, that everybody chosen before the foundation of the world, and we know because of the new covenant, that means everybody from every tribe, every nation, every tongue. It isn't specific to the Jews. Jesus is saying this pie all is going to come to me. I'm going to give them eternal life. I'm going to raise them from the dead. That's the resurrection. And he says, I'm going to do it on the last day. Yes. Yeah, that's a future event. Okay, but Abraham saw the day of redemption. Okay, so then yes, something, you know, and then that kind of brings us into a topic about eschatology. And I'm not going to do that. I could do it, but I'm not going to do it. All right, because then what that brings up is if Jesus is saying, I'm going to, my group of people that I've saved, in other words, the group of people that I redeemed right here, and we know from our previous studies being in this church that that is the group that God chose way back here, and that group is the group who are going to way out here live in eternity with him. And Jesus says, I lose none. So that means whatever that group was here is the exact number that's going to end up here. because Jesus loses none. If there's going to be a resurrection on a singular last day, that does put us out here, somewhere in the future. But I'm telling you, the problem that I have is that dispensational theology says there's going to be a resurrection here, because the church has got to get out of the way for God to finish his work with the people of Israel. And then I would argue the point, how many resurrections are going to happen? And, you know, that takes us down the eschatology road, and we're not... Yeah. So to your point... You know, why couldn't there be two groups? I'm just saying what Jesus said in John chapter 6, from what he said, is that there's only one group. I'm not doing something separate for this group, and then I got this whole gig going on for another group in John chapter 6 that sure looks like Jesus saying, I got my pie, and I'm going to redeem that pie. I'm going to resurrect that pie on the last day, all as one group, not as this group first and then this group second. That's just what I'm saying, is that I feel like Scripture says, well, we got a little tension here now. We got a little tension now. And we haven't even made it to Hebrews yet. Yeah, that's right. Then answers. Thank you. We could go to Ephesians and expound that principle. I mean, and then we could go to Corinthians that talks about there are many parts, but one body. You know, so I mean, there's endless scriptures that support what Jesus said in John 6, that I've got my one group. I've got my one group that back here was hidden to them. Because back here, they didn't know that redemption was going to be to every nation, every tribe, every tongue. I mean, so quite frankly, that was something that was actually hidden to them. That was mouth shut secret to them. Because they thought it was all about them. And you don't have to read too far into the Gospels to figure out that everybody who did a Q&A with Jesus thought it was all about them. Ben. Yeah. Well, yeah, and quite frankly, AD 70 actually ended up proving that, because the Romans destroyed Jerusalem because the Jews were rebellious. And I'm telling you, we can go back into history and see all the times that God raised up a nation to punish Israel for their unbelief and disobedience. In fact, that was, even though I had my chart up on the board, it said when they were occupied. But the only thing you have to do is read your Old Testament for a while and see where, because of their idolatry and their disobedience and their unbelief, God raised up a nation to put the squeeze on them. But again, is that because God of the Old Testament's mean? Remember, I tried to establish a pattern of Scripture that in the whole mess of sin, God reserves a remnant. And I'm just suggesting that Abraham is just an example of the remnant that was pulled out of this mess. And you and I know that everybody sitting in churches today, this is a mess of sin. And that in this mess of sin, God is redeeming his all. I just find it just amazing that the mess that was going on here, not a whole lot different than the mess that's going on here. Yeah, Diane. To every nation. They were privileged. Yeah. And Iraq and Iran and Afghanistan and Russia. I mean, a lot of us think that, you know, these awful Middle Eastern people that are overwhelmed with Islam are scum of the earth. But the point is, are those people any more scum of the earth than everybody who resides in Israel? Oh, how about everybody that resides in the United States? Are you trying to lure me into eschatology? Yeah, because Israel in the New Covenant is the first nation, but just a nation as any other nation. Because that was the point of Jesus' Great Commission, that we were to all go out into all the nations. Now, think about that. We're running late. That is exactly the fulfillment of the promise that God gave to Abraham, that he would be the father of many nations. Now just think if redemption, would have stopped here with the Jews. That's exactly what they thought it was going to do. The thing is Jesus had something new and better going on. And hence, that's why today, as a part of the United States, we are a part of the kingdom of heaven. Just like the believers in Iraq and Iran and Israel and China and every other nation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,